Amen. Well, I want to read for you an ad that actually appeared in a newspaper, I've been told. Evidently, this man was looking for a wife, so he advertised in the newspaper the following words: "Farmer with 160 irrigated acres wants marriage-minded woman with tractor. When replying, please show picture of tractor." Now, I guess that probably is a pretty good indication that there's a man whose priorities may be a little different than the wife that he would want to have. Then again, maybe not. Maybe not. But I guess I would call that a misplaced priority. We started a series last Sunday night on the book of Haggai entitled "Keep On, Keeping On." This is a message from an ancient preacher, but yet it's a message that is so encouraging and even challenging today in our generation. Remember, the book of Haggai is a book that is written a little over 500 years before Jesus came to the earth. 50,000 Jews had been repatriated. They were in exile in the land of Babylon and then became Persia. They were exiled from Persia. 50,000 came back for the express purpose of rebuilding the temple and renewing the worship of the Lord Jehovah. The world was in a state of change politically, and the Lord had so worked so that for that time, he prepared his house to be rebuilt. But when the people got back to the city, they were excited at first, and they started building, and they were so thrilled about the building of the temple. Remember, they laid the foundation, and then they offered the sacrifices, and they renewed the worship of the Lord. But some opposition came, some discouragement came. Things happened, just like it does for all of us in life. And the next thing you know, with all of that going on, they stopped building the temple. And for 15 years, the temple just laid there, a foundation. Now things are growing up around it. The people had gone on to their lives, building their own lives, doing their own thing. And God's house was left there, I guess you would call it, in a state of not even disrepair, in a state of destruction, in a sense. Until God, for the first time in this post-exilic period, God sends a prophet. His name is Haggai, and Haggai begins to preach. 2 months later, his co-preacher, Zechariah, begins to preach, and they preach and challenge God's people to keep on keeping on. And with their hearts stirred, the people of God respond to God's word with God's power. And the book of Haggai is a book that has just two chapters, but is a book that is made up of four sermons in these two chapters, in which Haggai is preaching to the people, encouraging them to keep on keeping on. And guess what the topic of Haggai's first sermon is? Guess what it is? The topic of his first sermon is the topic of renewed priorities. If you faithfully keep on keeping on, something has to change. There has to be a renewal of priorities in your life. You cannot stay exactly the way you are, always doing the things you've always done, and continue on and continue on. Just like that, until there has to be a renewal of your priorities. And things have to change if you want change. I've said many times, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So let's look at the first sermon that Haggai preaches tonight. You'll find it in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. We'll read the entire sermon. So Haggai, chapter 1. And if you'll stand with me, please, we'll read the scriptures. We'll start in verse 2. The last time we considered the beginning of this book, as well as the historical context in Ezra. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not yet come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie in waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, and ye have not enough. Ye drink, and ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring the wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because my house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. Remember, this is the politician and the priest. With all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear the Lord. Then spake Haggai the words, the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Let's ask God to help us as we open this sermon preached by this prophet of old, so that this sermon may even today stir us up to God's work in our lives. Lord, you brought a preacher to stir the people in Haggai's day. And we pray, Lord, as we hear from him, that we would hear from you and stir us to do your will, to join you in your work. And so we ask, Spirit of God, that you would help us, for we desire to hear from you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, in this sermon, I want you to notice the confrontation to renewed priorities. It begins in verse 2. And the condition of these Jewish people is expressed very clearly, and the Lord explains it to us. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not yet, is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. But there's an incredible contrast from the people's concern to the Lord's concern. Because the Lord asks a question. The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed or paneled houses, and this house lie waste? I can picture it in my mind's eye. Can you picture in your mind the ancient city? Picture a foundation of the temple. Picture it with it all grown up with rubble all around it. And picture this prophet who stands up, and there has not been a prophet of God for decades. And all of a sudden, this preacher is standing up, and he calls out as he's standing here on the foundation stone, and he's lifting his voice, and he's saying, the Lord says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses when this house lieth waste? And he confronts his people that they were living a life of luxury. And their houses were taken care of. In fact, when you read paneled houses or sealed houses, this is houses that are paneled in wood, very opulent. The appearance of opulence. Only the wealthy would have such a thing. But here are people that have taken care of their house, but they haven't taken care of God's house. And God confronts them. with their condition. And he calls the people to repent. And then the prophet Haggai confronts them, and their condition is exposed in verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled enough, or filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages, to put it into a bag with holes. Does that feel, do you feel like that's your life? No matter what I get, it's not enough. No matter what happens, it doesn't seem that there's any hope. The irony is that they were giving the appearance of opulence, the appearance of success. They were paneling their houses so that they look successful, when in reality, they never had enough. Never enough to satisfy their thirst, never enough to satisfy their physical needs. And no matter how hard they worked, the money just went away like a bag with holes. Now, why is it that they were in such a condition? Why was it that God was allowing this to happen in their lives for people that were striving, and yet, no matter how hard they strived, it seemed like they just couldn't get ahead? Well, God tells us why he allowed this in their lives. If you'll notice in your Bible, their conditions explained in verses 9 through 11. Ye looked for much and lo, or behold, or check it out. It came to little. And when you brought it home, blow on it. I blew on it. Just went away. Why? Then he tells us why. Saith the Lord of hosts, because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which is the ground bringeth forth, upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. In the Old Testament economy, there was an earthly nation with a spiritual calling. Physical blessings were a sign of reward for spiritual fidelity. Now, in the New Testament, things are a little different. We are a heavenly nation with a spiritual calling. The spiritual blessings and rewards for our fidelity, though they may be earthly in a sense, and we may and certainly do enjoy earthly reward, yet ultimately, our reward is heavenly. But the harder these people work, the less they seem to have. And God spoke directly to their condition. Now, they should have expected it. In the law of Moses, God told them about this. He said, you can read about it, Deuteronomy 23 or 28, Leviticus 26. So some other places you can read the scriptures where God says, now, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you and I'll take care of everything. If you turn away from me, then I'm going to turn away from you. I'm going to bring destruction. And they should have expected it. Looking back on their own history, you watch the history of the people of Israel. Just as God told them in the law it would be, that's how it was. When they sought the Lord, the hand of the Lord was with them. They enjoyed all the blessing. When they turned from the Lord, the hand of the Lord was against them. And God lets them know, why is it that you're having such a difficulty no matter how hard you try, no matter how you strive? Why is it? He says, it's because you have left my house waste. So in this passage, there's the confrontation to renewed priorities. Then there's a challenge to renewed priorities. You'll notice what the Bible says, Haggai chapter 1, verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. He says, you know, it's time to build. You've waited for so long. Now God is sending you a message. It's time to build. You know, in your life, there are times when it's time to build. And you You find your heart cold. You find yourself lagging. You find that you are just going along with the motions, and things are as they always have been, it seems. And you're going along, you're going along. And there are times when God stirs us up and he calls us to build and he calls us to take the next step. And so it is that God in his mercy sent this prophet to remind his people that God is still building. Now let me ask you, is God still in the temple building business? Well, take your New Testament and turn with me there, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to go to three passages to answer the question, is God still in the temple building business? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if you will, look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just over a page or two in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then one other passage, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom all ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Is God still in the temple building business? Absolutely. You're his temple. He's building you. And as he's building you, he builds his church and he brings his church together. Jesus said, I will build my church. God is still in the temple building business. Did you ever wonder if God is still in business sometimes? I say to you, God is not through working. He is not through working in our generation. He is not through working in our world. He is not through with you. So there's the confrontation to renewed priorities. There's the challenge to renewed priorities. But then I want you to notice then, as Haggai is preaching, he preaches about the cause for renewed priorities. Haggai chapter 1, verse 8. He was told to go up to the mountain, or tells the people, go up to the mountain and bring the wood and build the house. Now here is the cause. It's the reason to live. It's the reason to obey God. It's the reason that makes life worth living. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. There's a renewal for these people and a desire to please and glorify the Lord. Now, in your life, you're going to have to come to points in your life many, many times when it is not about anything else except this is what pleases and glorifies the Lord. God is dealing with your heart. You've never obeyed the Lord in believer's baptism, let's say. And God's made it very clear that you should obey the Lord in believer's baptism. So what do? You have to come to a point where you say, you know what, it really doesn't matter if I'm afraid of the water. Just to let you know, haven't lost anybody yet. And we've baptized some big old boys. Haven't lost anybody yet. Well, what are people going to think of me? I don't like to be in front of people. What's it going to mean for me to really take that final step of obedience? But it has to come to a point where you say, all that really doesn't matter. The thing that really drives me is what pleases and glorifies the Lord. In your life, if you're to keep on keeping on, you have to decide, Lord, Whatever pleases and glorifies you, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it means in my life schedule, whatever it means about my life that must change, there are things that will change because this is what pleases and glorifies you. When you reach that point in your life, you've come a long way. You've come a long way. Well, then there's something else to consider, because such a passion to please and glorify the Lord leads, fourthly, to the commitment to renewed priorities. The commitment to renewed priorities. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 12 of Haggai's prophecy, through the end of this sermon describes what happens in the lives of people who keep on keeping on when God stirs them. When God chooses those moments in time to stir them up, and He chooses those moments in time to move them forward. When God does this, there are things that happen in the lives of people that respond to the Lord. The first is the response of the people who keep on keeping on. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. What is the response of people who respond to the Lord and people who are committed to a new set of priorities in their life? Obedience. There's the reassurance for people who keep on keeping on. Verse 13. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You see, God never sends you any place that He isn't with you. I'm with you. Have you ever followed the Lord and then looked back and you get to where the Lord has you and you say, Lord, are you sure that you're here with me? Are you leaving me here all alone? Has that ever happened to you? Did you just abandon me here? But for people that keep on keeping on, this is so reassuring that God is the one that's leading, and God has led you to this step and He's led you to that step. And every step He's led you to, He will never abandon you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there with you. And then beyond that reassurance, there is the resource for the people who keep on keeping on. Verse 14, and the Lord stirred the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant, or the remaining of the people. And they did; they came and did the work in the house of the Lord, in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Who's the resource? God was the one that did this. He's our only hope. When you read the parallel account, remember the book of Ezra is the book that tells us the history behind Haggai. And Ezra's the one that tells us about Haggai coming. And then Haggai, of course, his prophecy records it. So we put the book of Ezra and the book of Haggai and the book of Zechariah together, and you'll find the whole picture of what happens. But when you read the book of Ezra, and because of the time we have and because my voice isn't going to make it, I don't think, that long. When you read the parallel account of the attempt of the Jews to rebuild the temple, in Ezra chapter 5, immediately there's opposition against them. I mean, the temple had been laid waste for 15 years. All of a sudden, Haggai starts preaching, and the heart of the people are stirred, and these faithful leaders are moving and motivating the people, and God is moving the people, and the building work renews. And so there was a note sent up to the Persian court to find out about the original decree. And when you read about this, Darius Hystaspes, if you remember, confirmed the order of Cyrus and commanded that the funds from the royal treasury be contributed to the project in Ezra chapter 6, first 13 verses. Now, when the work was first commenced, the Jews were taking a step of faith. They didn't know what would happen. Remember, the last time they tried to build, there was opposition. The government said, you can't do that. And they stopped and they gave in. They didn't know what would happen. They didn't know what the result would be. But they heard God's word being preached from the prophet, and they had their hearts stirred, and they followed God, and they decided, whatever else happens, we're going to obey God and build anyway. It was an incredible step of faith. And you'll find in your life, when you, as one of God's people, renew the priorities of your life so that your life is going to be invested in a greater way in building God's temple, you will find that it will take a great step of faith, but it will renew your passion and your vision. But then I want you to notice the reason that people keep on keeping on. It's the reason that many of you for so many years have been faithful to the Lord. It's the reason that encourages people of every generation to follow the Lord and to keep on keeping on in their future and those for those behind them. We read about it in chapter 1, verse 12, just nestled into the middle of this man's sermon. The very end of the verse, notice what the Bible says, as the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord God, their God, had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. There was such a reverential awe of God. We call that the fear of the Lord. And the reason people keep on keeping on is because they fear the Lord. The converse is also true. When we stop reverentially awing our God, we start looking around at people, we start looking around at circumstances, and we get sidetracked and we get discouraged and we get distracted. And the next thing you know, where am I in my life? But now look at me. And for these saints, some things had to change in their lives. And one of the things that changed was there was a renewal of the fear of the Lord. So let me ask you about some renewed priorities in your life. Is God confronting you about renewed priorities? Is He challenging you to change some things? Is He challenging you about the cause for your life to please and to glorify God, and now the commitment? That, Lord, with your help, as you are working in my life and I'm reorganizing some things in my life and I'm putting the priorities back in your order, God, would you help me to keep on keeping on? Stand with me, please. Our God, we thank you that you're a God that helps us. We thank you that you're a God that is concerned for us, aware of our weaknesses and our frailties, and yet your power is all sufficient. So we give you praise. We thank you that you're a God that steps into our lives and brings your message. In this message, Lord, that you preach through Haggai the prophet, reminds us about our priorities. And so, God, I pray that from the people of this congregation, you would build your temple, each one individually, each one a temple of God, the Holy Spirit residing within. You've brought us together as your temple. And so, God, we pray for your help. Now, before I'm done praying, I wonder if you'd say, you know, God has really spoken to me about some things that need to be changed, some renewed priorities. Got a lot of things going, doing this and doing that. And they're all good. Many of them are good, maybe. Maybe they're not all good, but some things that used to be important to God and to you aren't as important as they used to be. But things that are important to God, now you say, you know, they need to become important to me. Just pray that God will help me. I want to keep on keeping on, but there's some things that need to change in my life. That's you very quickly. Raise up your hand. I'm going to pray with you about it. A number of us. Blessings to you. And so, Lord, you have seen, I've seen the hands, you've seen the hearts of your people. And for these brothers and sisters whose hearts are stirred, now, Lord, as they go about tomorrow, help them to take action of renewal. And give them courage. Give us all courage, Lord, to keep on keeping on. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.